Whether it's to my daughter or to someone else's, your father will remarry, sooner than late.
His new wife will produce new heirs, and chances are better than not that one of those will be male. And when that boy comes of age and your father has passed, the men of the realm will expect him to be heir, not you.
Because that is the order of things.
When I'm queen, I will create a new order.
Oh, I wish that could be Rhaenyra. But the men of the realm already had their opportunity to appoint a ruling queen at the Great Council, and they denied it.
They denied you, Princess Rhaenys. The queen who never was. But they bent the knee to me and called me heir to the throne.
Do you remind your father's men of that as you carry their cups? Here is the hard truth, which no one else has the heart to tell you. Men would sooner put the realm to the torch than see a woman ascend the Iron Throne. And your father is no fool.
From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to The House of the Dragon with Mary and Blake. It's a podcast dedicated to The House of the Dragon on HBO, so sit back, relax, and let's talk about fire and blood. Welcome back. My name's Mary Larson.
My name's Blake, and I don't know a lot in this life, but I do know one thing.
Do tell.
I don't want to get eaten by crabs.
Ooh.
That looks miserable.
Yeah.
I mean, just getting nailed to a post. And
hard pass.
Yeah, wicked hard pass on that one.
I'll gladly be eaten by maggots. Because you don't feel it. They just eat the dead skin. You don't feel that.
Oh, God.
But crabs? You're going to feel that.
I don't know if crabs actually eat humans.
It's meat.
Maybe Kragas is like...
We feed crabs hot dogs to catch them.
Maybe trained them to like eat humans.
If they eat hot dogs, they'll eat a human.
Oh, man. You just go right down to the bone that way. See that? Like,
yeah. Oh, fresh meat, man. Fresh.
Yowza.
With the soundtrack of screams.
Oh.
That's crab music to their ears.
That
well, everybody.
Brutal stuff right there.
Blake and I are so excited to be talking all things Westeros with you. But remember, we're keeping busy with some other podcasts as well. So if you have not yet connected with us, be sure to find us on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube, or all three, just by searching Mary and Blake. You can also head to maryandblake.com, where you can see all of our blogs and other podcasts there as well. You can see what we look like. I had a friend tell me she thought that I was going to be a little redhead.
Really?
Not a little redhead. Maybe she knew I was going to be tall. But she thought, yeah, I was going to be like this little
sweet little redhead girl.
Nope.
You're like Merida from Brave.
Alas, I am more like Mother Gothel from Tangled with silver and gray hair. I'm basically part Targaryen is what it comes down
to. Yes, okay. I will. You're part Baratheon, part Targaryen because of the black hair.
More Stark, but sure.
Sure, whatevs.
I'm like not? If a Stark and a Targaryen, basically if Jon Snow and Daenerys did have a baby... And she was tall.
Well, technically, Jon Snow.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, yeah, you're right. Okay. Hashtag spoilers. Jon Snow is a Targaryen.
Okay. Yes. So, yeah, welcome. You can see what we look like there. We're going to be updating the photo there soon because I don't have my silver hair in that picture. That's
no, you
currently
don't.
On our site, but we're excited. All right. Let's get into the show.
Actually, before we do that, you want to know a fun little trivia fact about that photo?
Which photo?
About the photo that's on the maryandblake.com site?
Sure.
Currently? So if you go there right now, you'll see that there's actually a big stain on Mary's shirt.
Yeah.
And that was from our baby at the time.
Yeah.
Right before we took the photo, there's a big stain on Mary. I think it's on her shoulder. And that's like...
It's probably spit up, friends.
It's baby... It's exactly what... It's baby spit up. And we didn't touch it up, so...
Because that's real life, man. That is real life.
That's how it works. All right, Marvin, are you ready to get into the show?
Sure am.
Let's do it.
All right, for our little episode recap, This is taking six months after the last episode. So 6 months have passed with the grief and Rhaenyra being named heir to the throne. During the 6 months, Daemon's got busy, okay? Mm-hmm. He decided to take over Dragonstone. He's brought his red dragon there. And all of his lemur, essentially gold cloak people, followed lemur? Him. Yeah, don't lemurs just do whatever other lemurs do?
Isn't that a lemming?
Oh, maybe a lemming. Lemurs are the monkeys from... I like to move it. What's that one that you like? The DreamWorks movie? Not lemurs. If they did start dancing Madagascar. Like monkeys. Madagascar. There you go. Thank you. Lemmings.
Lemurs.
The gold cloaks are lemmings. What a waste of fabric. Okay? You know the crown had to buy all those beautiful outfits, and now they're over
We're
in Dragonstone.
We're just going to whistle past this whole thing where you just said lemur. We're just going to let that go.
Then there's some crab feeder who's technically a prince, an admiral, pirate, feeding people to crabs. And he's just chilling out, having a great time. So the small council says, excuse me, King Viserys, we know you just told everybody that your daughter is now the heir, but you need to do something about the crab-feeding pirate. Mm-hmm. You need to do something about your brother, and you need to get a new wife. Get on it.
And he doesn't do any of that.
Well, he does, and he chooses...
Well, he chooses
Rhaenyra's
a new
best
wife.
Friend.
Yes. Okay. What ifs?
And they get the egg back from Daemon.
True. Oh, and by the way, a brand new opening for this episode.
Yeah.
Brandy spanking new.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to talk about that in a moment. Yeah.
All right. So the title of this episode was The Rogue Prince. And that is, I think, in reference to Daemon and about how he went over and took over Dragonstone. But also, it could, I think, be in reference also to Corlys and how he went to Daemon at the end of this episode and went rogue from...
Is he a prince?
Yeah, because he... Well, I mean, he is the leader. He's the head of his own house and of his own kingdom in the Driftmark, right?
I don't
right?
think that makes you a prince, though.
I'll
find out. Is Corlys a prince?
And then also, of course, it could be in reference to Kragas himself, who is a prince of Myr. So... You know, I think there are some interesting little notes about this title that we could talk about. The director was Greg Yatanis. Now, Mary, Greg Yatanis has been around for quite some time. I mean, dating back all the way to the late 90s, going as far back as...
I don't think he's a prince.
Really?
Yep.
Okay, fair enough.
He is, however, known as the Sea Snake.
Yes, that's true. It's going as far back as Nash Bridges, by the way, if you remember that show. That was actually run by Carlton Cuse, who also gave Damon Lindelof a job on Nash Bridges, and he went from Nash Bridges to Lost.
Interesting.
And they both of them worked together on Lost, and oddly enough, Greg Yatanis directed a bunch of episodes of Lost.
Cool.
And then he continued on with the Bad Robot, that whole company vibe, when he went to go direct... episodes of Alias, as a matter of fact, and then kept going with a bunch of other different shows later on in time, including Damages and Heroes, obviously Lost, as I just mentioned, and then on to House and Ray Donovan, as well as Manhunt and The Twilight Zone, and even Castle Rock, which is a great show, by the way, and then, of course, ending up with House of the Dragon. And the writer of this episode was Ryan J. Condal, the showrunner of House of the Dragon. He wrote the last episode, The Heirs of the Dragon. Marvin, your flames rating. How many flames are we giving this episode?
I'm going to give this episode a 4.5.
Oh, we've gone up in the world
here.
Yeah,
we're moving on up,
baby. Moving on up. Okay, awesome. I'm going to give this one a 4. I, too, have gone up here a little bit, but not by a whole ton. But you know what? I kind of see where we're going, and there's some cool stuff that happens in this episode that I quite like. But we'll get there in a minute. You're a GBG. You're good. You're bad. And you're great.
Okay. So my good for this episode is the moment that Rhaenyra comes underneath the bridge.
Yep.
Riding on her dragon. It reminded me of Jaws. We've watched a lot of Shark Week in our household this summer.
Shark Week is a big deal in House Larson.
And I loved how we were able to hear Daemon's dragon just moments before. Mm-hmm. And then you heard a similar kind of squealish sound coming from below. And I was worried, like, who else is out here. I did not see that coming. Mm-hmm. And when she did cut through the clouds and came on down onto the bridge, it's just probably my favorite visual scene of this episode.
Totally agree.
My bad. Ugh, Viserys. He doesn't care what any of you think. He's going to ask you your opinion.
Sure.
He's going to ask everybody their opinion. Mm-hmm. And then he's going to do the complete opposite. Don't you hate those people who ask you repeatedly? I mean, I think I'm one of those people. What do you think of this?
I feel like this is a loaded question. I'm going to take the fifth.
I will self-proclaim it. This is me. But now watching it on screen, how annoying. If you know what you want, and yet you're still asking everybody, should I wed the 12-year-old and then wait 2 years to make to attempt to make an heir? And everybody says yes. Mm-hmm. A resounding yes. Mm-hmm. And then he just doesn't care.
Okay, listener, if you're not married, all right, I want you to understand something. Right now, what you just listened to is one of them moments in your marriage where you, no matter what, got to give the right answer. And you know what the right answer? It's like, does this dress make me look fat? You got to give the right answer. And the right answer is, Mary, I love you so much.
I know.
And you're not like that at all.
I know I am. It's okay.
So, or the right answer is,
I'm just getting better.
I'm going to take the fifth.
I'm becoming more aware of it, mm-hmm. where I need to just be clearer.
Sure.
I know I'm going to ask your opinion, so you do have, like, veto power in case someone is going to die from this decision.
Yes.
But this is where I'm leaning. It's almost like a warning. I'm going to run for Congress. You know, things like that.
Oh, my God.
Do you think I should run for Congress? I don't really think so. Well, nope. I think I should.
Well, I'm going to.
Thank goodness for your sake that I was 2 days too late.
Oh,
it's
man.
Like this Alanis Morissette
and you think,
song.
You think that Mary is kidding. She ain't. This happened.
I'm still debating if I should just try to be a write-in candidate.
No.
Nonetheless, my great for this episode is the new intro.
Ah, okay. I don't understand a lick of what's happening.
No.
Except for the red blood. I get that.
That is so gross. No, thank you. Whoever thought that they should put blood in something that's basically named Fire and Blood. Idiots. No, I'm kidding. I actually got really nervous because seeing all that blood trickle throughout whatever it is, because we don't know what all these little twisty doohickey things are yet, made me think, oh my gosh, episode one was so bloody between the birth and the tournament and everything. Is this their way of saying it's going to be even bloodier? And there wasn't blood in episode two.
That's true. Good point.
The only blood we saw was in the intro.
Good point.
So for a non-blood loving person like myself, if that's how I'm going to see blood, I'll take it.
Well, I'll tell you what, Mary, you asked and you hoped for the fact that the next episode and hopefully maybe the following episode wouldn't resort to the things that the first episode did, like checking the boxes mm-hmm. off. And you got exactly what you wished
exactly.
for.
Exactly. That's so, why it went up.
And that's a good thing. All right. My good. Matt Smith and Millie Alcock, respectively Daemon and Rhaenyra.
Oh, okay.
Especially when they're together, the show,
the
I
bridge.
Think on the bridge, I think the show is so far it's at its best when these two are together, and the way that they play off of each other, the acting that was involved on the bridge, more was said with their looks and their body language
mm-hmm.
than whatever they were saying with their mouths.
Yep.
And I like that. And it's electric when those two are on screen together. Now, what that means for the show going forward, I don't know. What that means for the two of them and how this all plays out, I don't know. But, you know, I got the same feeling. I got the same feeling from Jack Pearson in This Is Us. I got the same feeling from Black Jack Randall in Outlander. You know, you almost got that same feeling when it was Simon and Daphne in Bridgerton. Like, it was electric. You could just feel it. And that's how I feel about Daemon and Rhaenyra when they're together.
Okay.
But especially in that. And how it all came down and the dragon. Like, Mary, you mentioned the clouds as the dragon comes up. And 100%, there's this moment, like, when a really special detail, the clouds kind of, like, dip under, almost like a wave. Like, you know how, like, when a wave comes, the water kind of retreats a little bit?
Yeah.
You saw the clouds retreat a little bit, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden it you know, poofed out the way that the dragon does. Excellent stuff. My bad. Here's the issue that I'm finding with the show so far. I just don't care about anybody. And I barely care.
I feel like you're me.
I know. I barely care about Daemon and Rhaenyra as of this moment. It's not to say that it won't happen. It's not to say that I
one of them better save a puppy or something in this next episode if they want us to love them.
Something is going to happen. And I think they're on the way to making that happen. And I say that specifically because Daemon does give up the egg. And he does it in such a carefree manner. Like, he just tosses it, like, mm-hmm. see you later. And Rhaenyra takes it, and she is proven right. So, like, they're on the way to doing it. But when I think about everybody else, when I think about everybody else in this show, I know that Viserys, even though I like him, he's going to be a goner. He ain't sticking around.
Who?
Viserys.
I mean, he's being eaten by maggots.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be here for a bit.
I feel like that's not a great sign.
I'm here for it.
Not great, Bob.
When you're getting eaten by maggots, I think you're on your way out.
See, I disagree. I think he's going to be here for a while, but he's going to slowly become uglier and uglier.
Fair enough.
From wounds and things falling apart.
And then I think about, like, okay, well, his future bride, Alicent Hightower. You know what? I feel bad for her. Her mother died. But what else do I really know about her other than that she picks her nails? By the way, a habit that I have, I definitely have that.
Yep.
I get that, but what else do I know about her? And then I think about the other people, like.
Well, let's delve into it a little bit more.
I guess what I'm getting at is this: I don't know about any characterization for any of these people other than what they wear, what their names are, and what their job is. That's it. That's all I know, and I find that hard to believe. Again, I have to go back to my great. And Mary, I think you said it best, and that is the dragons coming up and communicating with each other, but also just there's something so, like, I will never get sick of seeing dragons at Dragonstone, mm-hmm. and coming up over that bridge. And, like, it reflected that same exact moment that happened when Tyrion showed up for the first time in Dragonstone, yeah. or when Jon Snow showed up for the first time at Dragonstone, the dragon comes up and everybody gets a little scared, and such a great set piece.
Agreed.
It was the most, I'll use this phrase again, it was the most electric part of the episode. And even the writing here was really great too, because, you know, the stuff is going to happen. And when Daemon's dragon shows up and Otto Hightower just says, "You put away your effing swords."
His dragon sounded like Flipper.
He kind of did a little bit. So that's my great. That whole scene was spectacular. In fact, when Daemon holds out his sword in particular, yes. I thought that was a visually striking image,
mm-hmm.
Especially with the not stormy, but almost like hazy background. It just felt like there's some stuff coming here, and this is beyond everyone's control now.
Yeah,
we've gone down a road where, okay, like we had a choice. We were at a fork in the road. We could have gone one way, and they said, "Nah, we're gonna do this." And it's that small step towards the other side of the road that is going to lead to big problems.
Yeah.
So that's where I think we're at. And that pointing of the sword, even though he gives up the dragon egg, I think that is when we're making a change. All
love
right.
it.
So, are you ready for the small council?
Of course.
Let's do it.
His Grace has many cares. He entrusts some small matters to us that we might lighten the load.
We are the lords of small matters here.
All right, so the first one comes from Jennifer Dominic. She says, these are knee-jerk notes that I made during and right after the episode. So, the good. All hail the return of the catchy opening song.
Whoop, whoop.
Mary, your thoughts on the opening song. Do you like the fact that they went back to the Game of Thrones?
Is it exactly the same, or have there been modifications? Kind of like, you know, Bear McCreary style.
Sure.
I hope that there become modifications.
I agree.
If there aren't already.
I would like to think that there will be modifications.
Maybe some dolphin sounds.
It'll be interesting to see what happens. To be honest, I wish that it was inspired by the Game of Thrones soundtrack or the Game of Thrones theme, but it was, you know, different instrumentation or.
I mean, it definitely stirred within us. I'm okay that it was the same.
Sure.
I'm just interested to see going forward if it continues to be the same, because you and I both heard it and we went, oh, cool. And then we saw the intro. So we've been without Game of Thrones for so long that to have this back, live TV, feel this moment, know that people around the world are listening to the same sounds as you at that very moment, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of that, I love live TV. Live TV is the best. Like, I know everybody loves Netflix and watching shows all at once and binging, but live TV just creates an environment and it's special. I mean, the fact that the premiere episode, 20 million people watched it. And the second episode, there was even more people. Mm-hmm. The ratings went up. Like, that's banana land.
All the people who didn't remember to set their alarms.
They were like, oh yeah,
they heard about it from their friend. They saw it online. They said, oh my gosh.
It was like 200,000 extra people, mm-hmm. 300,000 extra people. That was like the entirety of how many people watched. The difference from episode 1 to 2 was the entirety of how many people watched The Leftovers. But yeah, it's just banana land. All right, so anyway. Matt Smith is bringing it as Daemon Targaryen, and I'm loving all of it. Jennifer continues, he's playing thick into your favorite villain or Izzy tropes this time around. The bad. 6 months ahead? What? That HBO feels it's necessary to quadruple down on the squonkiness of the absolutely unnecessary historical accuracy of the king contemplating marriage to a child who has been assured by her mother she won't become physically sexualized until she is 14. That is not great. But my great is Rhaenys and Rhaenyra's hard truth discussion. Men would sooner put the realm to the torch than see a woman ascend to the Iron Throne. And your father is no fool. Just last week, I can't get enough of the interaction we're seeing between Rhaenyra and Daemon. They are matched in so many ways, and I don't know if that is good or bad, but I am here for it.
Yes. All right. Next up, we have Roseanne Radosevich. She said, hot take. Now we are talking. First, that opening, bam, right in the kisser. The vibe for this series was established. It upped the ante on the original Game of Thrones, using that theme over unending rivers of blood. Rhaenyra showed she's got the grit and the cunning to be the queen when she outmaneuvered Hightower and her uncle, showing up on her dragon like a boss and the ancestor of Daenerys, in a scene that finally and utterly took my breath away. The views of Dragonstone through the mist with the eerie keening of dragons over that never-ending walkway managed to be more awe and fear-inspiring than the original, again upping the ante for this series in contrast to Game of Thrones, while still paying homage. There is undeniable sexual tension between Rhaenyra and Daemon, as well as an enormous amount of mutual respect. Daemon is not going to talk smack about his brother because it will jeopardize his chances with his niece. Can guess where this is heading, but therein lies the tale of at least 2 seasons. Loved it. And she gave it 5 flames.
Yep, and it looks like Jennifer gave this episode 4 flames. Now, Mary, we also have a final contribution to the small council. It is a Mary and Blake Hall of Fame. Mary and Blake Hall of Fame caller. Oh, well, it's Gloria.
Hi, Mary and Blake. It's Gloria from Thuin. I'm so glad to be back.
Oh, you got to play your sound.
Your cousin from Boston.
Thanks, Gloria. Here we go.
At King's Landing and Dragonstone. I love the Targaryen family. Sure, they're vicious, conniving, devious, but oh, so good. The new opening I thought was awesome. I think that's supposed to be Valyria and the Targaryen family tree. It was a little dark for my taste, but I wish we could have seen more details in it while the trail of blood was moving along. The writing in this episode was just chef's kiss. Oh, so good. The visual display at the set with Alicent and Rhaenyra was incredible. It did look a little different from the scene last episode with the king and Rhaenyra. I could be wrong. When the princess showed up at Dragonstone was total deja vu of Daenerys to me. The king's choice to marry Alicent instead of Lena was better, but still, Alicent is supposed to be 15. Not too far away from 12, but definitely better. I have to say, Damon is really fun to watch. So fun. I don't care too much for him, but he clearly feels a little lost and left out of his brother's council and life. And the crab feeder? Wow, what a look. The whole thing was kind of gross. Ew. That's all I got. Next episode, things are going down, and I mean Alicent and Rhaenyra's friendship. Bye, guys.
Yeah, definitely. Yay. Does not bode well for those two. You know, Mary, Gloria brought up a great point, and one of them is seeing Dragonstone again. And once again, I think the show does something that's really special, which is it brings us back to these places that we've known, we've seen before, but again, it presents it in a totally different perspective. I mean, Dragonstone looks completely different from how mm-hmm. it looked in Game of Thrones. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I'm here for it. It's good. Time has passed. Let's up the ante, like our friend said, and just make things look a little bit more polished. And we're obviously going to be spending more time in Dragonstone. You think about with Game of Thrones, we spent time in other people's houses. Mm-hmm. We had lots of families that we had to be in their castles, whereas it seems like we are just hanging out with the Targaryens. So let's get to know their homes a little bit more.
Fair enough. All right. So what... Mary, stands out to you the most from this particular episode? I mean, I know for me, one of the more visually beautiful shots, even though it was freaking gross as hell, was the bookends of Krag Estrahar. You know, the crab feeder guy, and I don't know, it was just like this real, almost like soft toned, like. Golden hour look to it. Mm-hmm. So it was a great dichotomy of like this really gross stuff, but really beautifully shot. And obviously, you know, it being the bookends of the episode, it leads into the, you know, the visual storytelling of it. It tells you, okay, this is going to be a problem. And it's creating circumstances in the beginning as a setup for what's about to come. But mm-hmm. once it ends, it's telling you this is a big thing coming up. Like, this is not going to go away. And yes, you saw the stuff with Damon and whatever, but this guy, Kragas, is going to be a big deal in how that is going to affect the plot for the rest of the show. Well, at least for the rest of the season. That's the visual language. And that's what stood out to me. But for you, what else stood out to you? Was the conversation between Rhaenyra and Rhaenys? Was it what was it?
Yeah, I mean, the crab feeder, it didn't do a lot for me, I'll be real with you, because I'm just so busy paying attention to my Targaryens. Visually great. I loved it. I love seeing all those little crabbies scuttle around. I wonder how they did that.
Oh, yeah, huh?
Are all the crabs real?
It kind of reminds me of... Pirates of the Caribbean 3. Remember all the crabs that were carrying the ship and everything?
But those were obviously like CGI'd crabs. Yeah. So I'm wondering how many of these crabs were CGI'd, if they had a mix of them and they just had the nibbling crabs be CGI'd.
Oh, that's cool.
Or did they put pieces of food?
Hot dogs.
Yeah, I use hot dogs to catch the crabs. The thing that actually stood out to me about the crab feeder was his mask.
How come?
It was just very Phantom of the Opera to me.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, his face was deformed underneath, and it seemed like one side was bigger than the others.
This is why we are married.
I was just wondering, like, who are you, you tortured soul with your mask on?
Does it look like he has grayscale? Remember the disease that...
Yes.
It looks like he has grayscale.
I would say yes.
And that's probably why he's wearing that.
Who knows? Or maybe he was burnt. Like, part of me wonders, was he burned by a dragon or something that has to do with fire?
Does he listen to the music of the night? That's the real question.
That is the question. That is the question. But to me, you know, plot-wise, what stood out? So you're saying, okay, you're listening to Corlys. You're listening to, like, you best be watching these seas, man.
Yeah.
Whereas I am fully in on Damon.
Really?
Yes.
You're in.
I am so in. So I figured, you know, we should have a new segment for this show because you and I are both having issues where we don't love anybody.
Yes.
Nobody has saved a goddamn puppy. All right. There's no equivalent to that in this show. And generally, in shows, I need to love somebody and I need to be rooting for them for me to want to come back week after week. So I thought, you know what? You nor I have anybody yet. So, you know, let's just say to hell with it. Who are we rooting for this week? And who is your bad guy? Who are you against this week? Let's have this as a new segment. Until we love somebody.
Okay, fair
enough. And that continues to be the same. So I am actually rooting for Daemon.
Okay.
I'm here to stir the pot because his dumb brother Viserys didn't listen to anybody. He's been, who knows what he did last night with his lady friend of mere 15 years old. Is that why he chose her? Did he get it in? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Nothing's confirmed. But she did give him a present.
Yep.
And that went a long way. I appreciate that. She's freaking 15. Calm down, buddy. So I am all in on Daemon. I just think that'd be fun. I'm cheering for him. I like that he was trying to lie about his wedding, lie about having a kid. I love that he just tossed this priceless dragon egg, knowing Rhaenyra would catch it.
Yeah. I wonder if it dropped, would it break? It's a dragon egg.
Well, I'm also wondering, like, how much can you shake an egg before the dragon stops being made? Like, you can shake your eggs when you're baking. Sure. Whatevs. You're stirring it up. You're making some batter. You're baking scrambled eggs. Who cares how much you shake that egg up? But if this was a creature that you actually want to be born at some point.
Yeah, like, you can't just toss it about.
I don't know. Maybe they're hardy because they're dragons. So that's who I'm rooting for. Does that mean I think he's a good guy? No. Mm-hmm. I'm just rooting for him right now. And then who do I think is my bad guy? Meaning, who do I think is up to no good? Who do I think is going to do something that is going to cause some missteps? That kind of a situation.
Okay.
I'm actually going to go against my name, bad guy, and I'm going to go for bad girl and the aunt.
Oh, Princess Rhaenys, the queen that never was.
Princess Rhaenys is my bad person. I think she's going to do some shady stuff. She's going to want to be seen because she didn't get the crown, obviously.
Yes.
And she's sitting there saying, oh, women can't do anything. And Princess Rhaenyra just says, screw what everyone says. I'm going to actually go jump on my dragon right now and take care of the situation and show these men, these boys, what's up.
Yeah.
So I think that the queen who never was is going to do some shady stuff, too. Not only is her husband doing some shady stuff, but I think she's going to have her own version of shady stuff.
Well, you know, see, that's a great point, Mary.
Well, I want to know, who are you rooting for and who do you think is your bad guy?
Okay. Who am I rooting for? I'm rooting for Sir Criston Cole.
Mm.
I want him to be a
solid
thing.
Solid choice.
I want him to be a thing.
If he comes out wearing flannel and completely rocks the 90s boy haircut plus the flannel wrapped around his waist, my heart may break of sheer delight.
I want him to be a thing because
he probably listens to the Smashing Pumpkins in that helmet.
Oh, yes.
He's got some earbuds in.
Yep. Of course.
Okay, continue.
He listens to early Pearl Jam. He doesn't do late Pearl Jam.
Yes.
He's not in on that.
And when he's not in his full, you know, armor, he's wearing Vans.
No, he wears Airwalks.
Sorry.
Let's get this right.
Sorry.
Come on. He wears Airwalks.
Because he made more money.
His dad made him listen to Bruce Springsteen.
Okay, so why are you rooting for this guy? Because he seems, nobody's really excited about him.
I'm excited about him, except for Rhaenyra. Rhaenyra seems excited about him. But you know what? Also, I would think that Sir Harold Westerling, our boy, played by Graham McTavish.
That's his real name?
Yes.
Sir Harum?
Harold Westerling.
Harold. Yes. Okay. Sir Harold Westerling.
He's the commander of the Kingsguard.
Root for him.
It seems like he's in on this decision, and it seems like he understands that Rhaenyra has more of a hold on what she's doing than what she's been given credit for.
Okay, so you're rooting for...
Yeah, I'm rooting for Criston Cole.
Okay, Criston Cole.
Because he just, you know what we need? We need a moral compass.
You need a hero.
Yes, we need a moral compass. Okay, we need the Hurley.
He, out of everybody, I would agree, he would save a dog. He would save a puppy from a burning building. You're right.
Like, he wants to do the thing.
Oh, which means he's probably going to die the soonest, but continue.
No, I think they're setting him up. I think they're setting him up to be the moral compass of the show, at least for now. Like, I don't want to say Jon Snow because
He's got it.
I just see him as
he is fresh from a fight.
You know what I would even say? Maybe even a Brienne of Tarth. Okay? Like
But 90s haircut.
But 90s haircut, Brienne of Tarth.
Okay. So who do you think, and we can delve more into these people, but who is your bad guy? Who do you think is going to cause quite a stir?
I don't know.
In the next episode. That's what I also want to do, because we're going to change it. Who in the next episode is going to cause a stir?
Oh.
And I, by the way, I'm not saying that Damon will save a puppy. I'm just rooting for him because I think
I got one.
Okay.
I got one.
Who's going to be your bad person?
Alicent. Ooh. Alicent Hightower. Nothing's good. Nothing good's coming from that girl. Nothing.
Meaning she's going to hurt people?
Yeah.
Or do you think she's a bump on a log?
No. I mean,
you think she's going to be bad.
I think that she's going
to the Billie Eilish.
Yeah.
Bad guy.
Duh. I think this, when she gets married to the king, all I see is problems. All I see is that, as a matter of fact, my hot take from last week, I'm retracting the hot take.
Okay.
It's a take retraction.
Okay.
Okay. My take was that it was going to be Princess Rhaenys versus Princess Rhaenyra. Wrong. It is going to be Princess Rhaenyra versus Queen Alicent.
I'm here for it.
That is what this is coming down to.
Okay.
So- and I just, that girl. Bad news written off. The way that she's picking her fingers and everything. Yep. I'm telling you.
She could really use the Calm app and do a little meditation.
She needs like a cuticle softener to help her.
She just needs a spinning fidget, whatever. Fidget widget. What are those things called that those kids play with now? Fidget widgets? Spinning fidgets?
Fidget spinner.
There you go. I was kind of close.
You were there. You were somewhere there. You were surrounding it. You were circling the...
I would come to it at some point. So in addition to the who are you rooting for and who's going to cause some drama in the next episode,
okay,
we also have one new segment that we're going to add
to
the House of Dragon with Marion Blake.
Okay. Well, are we going to do this right now?
Yeah.
We're doing it right now.
Right now.
Okay.
It's called Mary's Dad. Because my dad is watching this show. And... he has given us feedback via text, as dads do, generally signed/love dad, because you don't need that, dad.
I know who it's from.
I know it's you, but I love that I still always get it. But we were talking with him, Blake and I, and we said, Dad, we need your voice.
So let's do this. Mary's dad is one of the most kind, warm, loving people I've ever met in my life.
Cover your kids' ears for 1 second. Here's your warning.
Well, hold on. Let me.
4, 3, 2, 1. He also just got an advanced degree from the New England Santa Society because he is a Santa Claus.
Yes.
Okay. Ready? And, your kids can come back.
Okay. And he is a real life version of Hagrid from Harry Potter.
A cleaner version.
You're a wizard, Harry.
Like, he's legitimately
like, if you could combine Santa and Hagrid and their kindness and, I mean, he's smarter than Hagrid.
Yeah, but...
he's very smart.
But there's just something so kind and sweet about him that it's almost naive. You know what I mean? Like, I don't mean that in a bad way, no. But, like, in the same way that I would say for Hagrid. Like, it's just so... such a good person.
But he's now in on the show, friends.
Oh,
so
yes.
My dad is going to have his own segment... we're going to have to find some cool music for my dad.
We'll find some music.
Dad, don't worry. You'll get some music.
So this all started because he sent me a text message after the premiere. And he said, I saw House of Dragons and I'm disappointed. They killed off my favorite character, the queen, in the first episode.
His favorite character was the queen. I love it.
I predict the king will turn to the Hand's daughter for comfort. She gets pregnant. He marries her. She gives him a son. And the heir situation gets... messy.
Messy. Hashtag messy.
So when I heard that, when I read this, Mary and I read it to her, and we both looked at each other and said, this needs to be a thing.
So on that note, my friends, here is Mary's dad.
So this is Mary's dad calling in after watching House of Dragons episode 2. Looks like I was kind of on the mark in terms of my predictions with the king wanting to marry the best girlfriend of the princess, and we'll see what happens there. I was very taken with the crab feeder. He looks like a scary dude. I don't know what his motivations are, but he seems pretty menacing. And I didn't see that there was going to be this three-way split between the Free States and the king and the prince, who is now aligned with the captain of ships.
Hey, getting messy.
So that's going to be interesting. But it was really apparent that the princess is, she's the one that's going to be cut out to be the ruler. The king, as nice as a guy as he is just too compassionate and too soft-hearted. He needs to have a certain amount of ruthlessness in there.
Mm, nice.
And in terms of what's going to take him out of the picture, I think it's that little finger of his that's got gangrene. I think he's not going to take good enough care of it. He's not going to let the maggots do their job cleaning the wound out. He's going to get sepsis and croak from that.
Ugh.
That's my predictions for this week. Take care.
That a boy.
Oh, look at my dad with his hot take that the pinky.
The pinky undoes the king.
Take.
And that would be ironic because ultimately it is
the hand of the king.
Oh.
Oh.
It's ironic because it was the throne that gave him.
Because it's his hand?
I gotcha. Okay. It's the throne is what cut him, you know, in the pinky. And that is what is causing the problem for him. And that ultimately is why he's going to die, which, by the way, refers back to the notion that that the king ends up telling Rhaenyra in the beginning, which is the throne is the most dangerous seat in all of Westeros.
Hello, it cut him. And then look what happened, maggots.
And I like how that the show has done this. It's caused this little thing that you would think isn't going to be a big deal, and all of a sudden it's turning into, I think, as your dad has well predicted, going to be a big problem.
It's just like that funky mole. If you have not gone to your dermatologist since COVID.
We know you got a funky mole.
Go get it checked out. They miss you. The dermatologist
does. The dermatologist does. So, yes, that is going to be a new segment for this show. Mary's dad.
Love it.
I love this idea. This is great stuff.
Well done, Dad. Well done.
So, Mary, there's also some great stuff here, too, from your dad that I want to kind of comment on. And that is, you know, your dad said that Viserys is just like this kind of well-rounded dude. Like, he's just kind of normal.
He's too compassionate.
He's too compassionate. And he's kind of smart in that, the king is, in that he doesn't want to start a war, especially with the Free Cities. Like, he knows that we can't do the thing, because if it does, it's going to only cause big problems, and we're already down and out as it is. Yet, at the same time, he makes a decision to alienate probably his most powerful ally outside of Otto Hightower. And even then, I would say that he alienates Lord Corlys Velaryon and sends him off. And that is just as bad as a declaration of war, in my opinion.
Wow.
It's just as bad. Because all it's doing is it's sending this person into the arms of another.
Mm-hmm.
And in trying to keep the peace, he has caused a major rift, the king does. What do you think about that? Like, the irony of that.
I mean, I think he chose poorly. Milk's a bad choice.
Milk was a bad choice.
The Hand's daughter, bad choice. I hope that she brings him comfort and joy.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that was my bad. He did not listen to the advice of every single person whom he asked. And he didn't even ask his daughter.
Mm.
Or did he? Was that the dinner conversation? I mean,
talked about it. It wasn't like I'm asking, but he's like, you have to understand what I'm doing, right?
Yes.
And I think that's one of the tragedies of this episode. And that's kind of why I don't think Rhaenys is going to do anything out of turn. I don't think Rhaenys is, or she wants to do anything out of turn, because she says it to Rhaenyra, and that is, this is just the order of things. Like, and that kind of.
But if Game of Thrones taught me anything, it is do not underestimate the women.
Oh, sure.
So that's why. I mean, I'm just watching. I want to see if she stirs the pot next week. I want to see if she does something weird. Maybe she bumps into his pinky.
Like a super passive aggressive thing.
Yeah.
Where she just plays it off like, oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Did that hurt? Oh, is that your bad hand? I thought it was the other one. Sorry.
I don't know. I just wonder. I just wonder if there is some issues that are going to arise, not from Rhaenys, but from Corlys, and what that means for Rhaenys, and what that means. The whole episode, I think, is an exercise.
Do you think she's in on it? Do you think she knows that her husband went to Daemon?
No.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think so. Because I think she would have gone too. She seems like that kind
of... He left after the dragon egg was brought back.
Yeah, but I feel like Rhaenys would have went with her. With him, rather.
Interesting. Okay.
Because I feel like, you know, Corlys storms out of the small council.
She's the puppet master.
Valid point.
And she could be like, I'm going to stay here and keep eyes on the ground here.
Valid point.
You go do the thing because they only listen to men. Mm-hmm. And if I went there, Daemon wouldn't listen to me.
Yeah, it would undercut. Yeah, that's
unless
fair.
I was pouring his cup.
You know, and that's because it's just the order of things.
Yeah. I bet you she's the puppet master. That's what I'm going for. Okay. I'm here for it. All if right. not, it's okay. We're just having fun.
Fair enough.
Let's delve into the actual episode instead of our dream.
But here's another thing that I want to bring up too. Why? If the king gets married to Alicent Hightower, and if they have a boy, which you know they're going to have a boy because that's just the way that it's going to be, why would she undercut the king? I don't know. I'm not sure if she would undercut the king because that would then undercut her standing in Westeros. Like, if anything,
I think she's just hedging her bets. I'm going to make sure that we're good with everybody.
Okay.
Because my uncle won't think that I'm bad because I didn't go to Dragonstone.
Yeah.
But if my uncle also dies and loses, and if Daemon wins, we're cool with Daemon.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's a good point. That's a good point. All right. I don't know. It's just there's a part of me that thinks like because and again, I keep going back to this phrase. It's just such a nice phrase. I think the writing is not as punchy as Game of Thrones was.
Okay.
I felt like Game of Thrones was very quotable. And I hate to make the same comparisons over and over again because, you know, I don't want to, but the show invites it. For the very fact that it plays the same exact theme, it invites comparison. I think the writing for the first Game of Thrones in terms of its punchiness was much better, but there is that saying, the order of things. Like, there is this sense that everybody is just kind of doing things because that's the way that it's been done. And yeah, getting married to a 12-year-old, well, that's just the way that things have been done. So we're going to overlook the fact that is wildly out of control. Even, you know, Otto Hightower kind of pawning off his daughter, you know, who's so like cutely in like, it's like, I just want to like pinch her cheeks a little bit by when she fixes the dragon, like the broken dragon. Like, how on the nose is that when she fixes the broken dragon and gives it back to the king and like it heals him and she is the one who heals the dragon.
Like, such a sap. You would not have made a good king.
No, I definitely would not have. No. I would not have.
Some broad comes in who's being puppeted by her dad.
Yeah.
Go give him a present. Okay.
I'll give him a dragon, the one that he broke, because he's broken.
And there I am. I don't trust any of you.
Mary's just in the corner. So I don't know. What do you think about that? I think the real tragedy is that we're watching something that has been going on now for so long that nobody questions anything. And it is what it is. And is that the stepping point from which the rest of the show is going to...
Is what the stepping point? You spoke in a lot of pronouns, so I didn't really know.
Yeah, like just like the fact that this stuff has just been going on and no one's really questioned it. And all of a sudden now
Daemon's
we have Rhaenyra.
Ready.
I feel like Daemon, but I don't think Daemon is the person to root for. yet.
I'm just rooting for him for next episode because I think it's fun to watch. He's pretty much my Jersey Shore, okay? There's nothing else good on TV right now. I'm not rooting for anybody else.
Is he the situation? Is he or is he Ronnie?
I just love that he made up. He's not getting married.
Yeah.
She's not pregnant.
He just made it up.
I'm just here to watch the drama. Am I rooting for him because I need him to win and I think he's going to save puppies in this future? No.
Yeah.
I'm rooting for it because it makes for good TV, baby. Let's shake up some more eggs.
Here's a fun little bit of trivia that did come out of the conversation between Viserys and Laena, the girl that is Lord Corlys's daughter.
The 12-year-old.
You know, it's because as gross as it was whatever. There is another dragon, the largest and biggest badass dragon there is.
That is currently alive.
Currently alive, and he's nested somewhere on the coast of Westeros. And they don't know necessarily where he's living on the coast of Westeros, but he is there. And
he's in Nantucket.
He's
there through Labor Day.
Because you know he's wearing all the Nantucket reds.
Oh, plus his white. He wants to make sure gets his white.
We get the white
through
in.
Labor Day.
Okay, yeah. And the dragon's name is Vhagar. Oh, so do you think Vhagar?
No, we call that Vhagar.
Yeah, Vhagar. I gotta say it right.
In Nantucket.
Yeah, Vhagar. I think Vhagar breaks the rules. He wears white after Labor Day.
He's a honey badger. He don't care. He's the biggest dragon of the land.
So he's still around, and that's a thing. So I feel like that.
Whose dragon is he?
Well, he's nobody's dragon yet. He was ridden by Queen Visenya, which was the wife and sister of Aegon the Conqueror.
Where is the king's dragon, and does he not have one?
I don't know. He did ride dragons, but I don't know where the king's dragon is.
You know, I'm a little worried he can't do it anymore.
He may not be able to.
He can't get up.
So, I don't know. I just...
That's what she said.
No, yeah. You know what?
How to tell when the hosts aren't listening.
Didn't hear it.
I said he can't get up.
I know. But when I went back, I played it back through my brain.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now I get it.
That's what I get for trying to make like a somewhat dirty joke. All right.
All right. Anything else you want to talk about in this episode, my darling?
Do you remind your father's men when you carry their cups? Like, I love that. Yeah. Just knowing her place. Rhaenyra calling Daemon's bluff, knowing he was lying about the pregnancy.
Oh, yeah.
Now, how did she know? Can she just read him that well?
Probably. And I think that at least there's some bit of characterization for Daemon, in that is he just wants to push buttons. And not only did he do that for Otto Hightower, but he's doing it for his brother and he's doing it for the attention. And it's clear that he is because he's making up this stuff.
It's brilliant.
Just for the sake of doing it. And he's stealing the eggs just to get a rise out of them. And do you think he wanted to provoke war?
I think he wanted his brother to show up.
Yeah, that's a good point.
He wanted his brother to show up to surprise him and say, nah, just kidding.
Yep.
I don't think he's ready for war. I think he just wanted to tease and his brother.
What do you think he gets out of that? That's the question. Like, what? Just to get a rise?
Yes.
Just to, yeah.
Why not?
And especially.
That's what you got to do, man. And when you're a second born.
And, you know, Corlys does raise a lot of big questions. Like, this thing with the crab feeder is happening. What's his name? Daemon does take Dragonstone. There's been no answer. Like there's nothing. Viserys is just kind of there doing the thing, mm-hmm. and that is all. And he's not even married yet. Like, and he's supposed to get remarried. I wonder if Daemon has a point. Like he says, "Oh, my brother was never really being good at being a king." Does he have a point?
Yeah, he's a lazy king. He's just got it easy. He's a summer-born child.
He is a summer-born child.
Just don't cause any waves.
And like the
which is smart on one hand because he wasn't necessarily the heir through birth, right? Mm-hmm. It was a big juggly thing. He's had some difficulties with having a new heir. Now he's had the loss of his wife. He's trying to have a female heir. So I appreciate that he doesn't want to rock the boat. Mm-hmm. There's already been a lot of change within his reign. So I think he thinks he's doing the right thing by just staying the course, setting things up so that, think about it, he's not doing well. Mm-hmm. So if he goes to war with all these ship people, crab feeder peeps, that is going to have to be the world that potentially his daughter inherits.
Right. Here's a question for you, and I think this is a big one, Mary. And that is this. Are the stakes right now just too low? Like
for
we,
who?
For the show. The show in general. Like, we know that Daenerys is the first queen of Westeros. Like, we know that. Like, the we know that. And that isn't anything new. That was said in Game of Thrones. And we also know that in Game of Thrones, we're going to have the White Walkers. Like, there isn't this big thing yet.
But when do the dragons die? When are there no longer dragons? Because I'm wondering, do the dragons end during the House of the Dragon? Do they go to battle because it is within the House of the Dragon that this is why there were not dragons for centuries?
Hmm, good point.
Because I got to tell you, I love those flying reptiles. And that's at stake for me.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I wonder if there is just a sense of slight boredom, because this episode is very talky. It was very, like, you know, very, very dialogue heavy. I wonder if there's a slight boredom, because as we talked about last episode, there's just this sense of, okay, and again, we refer back to this, the order of things. Like, this is how things have been. And we're waiting for some sort of change. And we've spent so much time building up the history and the table setting of what's about to happen. Do you think it's imperative for a show that only has 10 episodes during this season that we get to the point? Or would you be okay with...
I've been okay. I really liked, I know that you think that this one was talking heavy. I really enjoyed this episode. Mm-hmm. I'm here for the talking. I'm here for the drama. I'm here for the backstabbing. If there is not a puppy saving person, then bring me all the drama.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else that you want to talk about in this episode, my love?
That is it. There were two dragons in this episode. I want to just keep a count and know who we see.
Yes. So the two dragons are Syrax and Caraxes.
Okay.
Syrax is... Princess Rhaenyra's dragon.
Yes.
And Caraxes is the red dragon.
Of Daemon.
That is Daemon's dragon. Mm-hmm. I really love the visual of seeing the dragons on Dragonstone. It's just so cool with how the little like wing tips on the top of Dragonstone and all that. You know what I was looking for? I was looking for the table at Dragonstone.
The map table?
The map table.
I think that's what they were leaning against.
Because I didn't see it.
When he was trying to kiss her and she said, "Oh, I'm just a whore and I can't live forever. And I thought you were going to set me free and I'm not pregnant." I thought that maybe that was what they were leaning against when it was just shadowed.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. And I also want to kind of call out Corlys's decor choices. With like skulls that are being eaten by like...
Where's Corlys having decorations?
We were in his house.
I thought he was in Daemon's house. Oh, I thought he went to Dragonstone.
No. Remember, because Daemon says, "Did you summon me just to tell me how low born or how, what was it? Oh, did you call me to Driftmark to remind me of how low my status, or was there some other reason?"
Okay.
So yeah. And I wouldn't call it, you know, fast travel, because Driftmark is right next to Dragonstone. So like that makes sense to me. Like the fact that Daemon could travel so quickly. But yeah, his decor choices, it left a little to be desired. I'm not gonna lie.
Okay.
Like just weird sea creatures and well, I guess when you're called the sea snake, that's kind of what happens.
That's your thing.
All right. Anything else? That's it.
That is it.
Let's close it out, shall we?
We shall. Thank you all once again for tuning into this latest episode. As we said in the beginning of the podcast, we are very social and we want to hear your feedback. Don't forget, we have our voice line. You can just go to maryinsblake.com and click the contact button so your voicemail may appear on this podcast, as well as checking out our Facebook and Instagram channels when we put up the feedback post after the episode airs each Sunday night.
Yeah, don't miss out on those because that's the way that you're going to get your voice heard in the small council. And as Mary just said, that voicemail inbox that our cousin from Boston, Gloria, used is something that we really like to promote as well. Because again, we love hearing your actual voice. And and of course, Mary's dad's voice. I mean, how can you beat that?
Dad, if you're still listening, you're the best.
So go to maryandblake.com to check all those features out, or go to jointhenerdclan.com to get all of our amazing benefits, like, you know, early access to all of our episodes, free swag, our knee-jerk reactions, Blake's book club for Outlander. I mean, we got things coming out of our ears over at jointhenerdclan.com. You don't want to miss out on that. And it does help. It does help keep this little venture that Mary and I have going on a day-to-day basis. So.
Don't forget to head on over to Apple Podcasts and leave a written review. We would love for more people to find out about this podcast. So head on over. Even if you listen somewhere else, writing it in Apple Podcasts is the best way for others to find out about it. I would love to go up in the ranks.
Oh, yes. That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Of the House of Dragon when searches.
Yes.
So do us a favor and write us a review. We'll be ever so thankful. My name is Mary.
My name is Blake.
We still don't have an outro.
I got to do it. We were supposed to do that. Weren't we going to say Dracarys?
Dracarys.